I hate you and I berate you.
Chima.
I would choose to accuse you.
Guys, I'm trying to podcast.
Hello, this is Reach Out. Feel
Hey, this is Rish.
Let's see, what was I going to talk about? Last night I sat down with the intent to record audio. I hadn't done it in weeks, more than a month or so. I'm not going to say that I got burnt out, but I did it a lot, and then I stopped, and it's like, okay, next time I turn this thing on, it's going to be for me, it's going to be recording my own stuff, oh, it's going to be nice. And so last night, I set up my microphone for the first time, like I said, in probably 5 weeks, and I didn't end up recording any stories. I had two that were on my docket, you know, on the agenda, and I didn't get to either of them. I did a fake Sean Connery song as sort of a, you know, warm-up kind of thing. And it took so long that the hard drive on my recorder, or the chip, you know, that it records, the memory of my recorder was completely filled up only before I was even done with the song once through. Usually what I'll do is I'll record a fake Sean song twice, because it's hard. And I'll sort of switch it up, do the second one slightly differently. Then I edit them, I splice them together, and I sort of choose the take that I like more of the two. And every once in a while, and maybe it's irritating to hear, I'll leave both of them in and you can hear two fake Seans at the same time. Actually, that's something I really enjoy, is the duo fake Sean kind of thing. But this was like a collaboration song. And so it took so long to do after I'd gotten a new memory chip in there that when I was done, I was like, whew, I'm not going to record anything ever again. If I had, then we'd be talking about that right now. And it'd be great. It would be an episode for the ages. It'd be an episode that would motivate everybody who doesn't donate to my Patreon fund to donate to my Patreon fund. And for those people who do donate to my Patreon fund, it would cause them great sexual pleasure, is what it would do. But because that didn't happen, here I am. I've got a long drive ahead of me. It used to be that my friends from high school would get together one night a year at my friend Dennis's house, and we would have a barbecue. And I remember the first time that I got an email saying, hey, we're all going to go do this. You should come check it out. It'll be good times or whatever. I was just like, oh, no. Some of these people I haven't seen in 10 years or longer. Some of these people, I what would I say to them? Some of these people haven't seen me since I got fat or gay or stupid. What am I going to do? And I seesawed between going and just, you know, shrugging it off and saying, nah, I'm not going to go. Kind of like my high school reunion. There was a high school reunion, as these things happen, and I considered going, and then part of me was just like, do I want to go? Maybe I would rather eat broken glass. And I didn't go. But in this case, the very first time, I did go. I ended up going to Dennis's house, and I had a really, really good time, and I was just like, wow, that was cool. It was worth the hour-long drive to get to his house. And I think that very first time I got lost, as I always do. But then a year went by, and it was like, hey, everybody's getting together to go to his house for a barbecue. Hey, I can't believe it's been a whole year. Our so-and-so night, let's all get together. And that same hesitancy, I don't know if it's hesitancy, I don't know if it's apathy or some kind of fear or what, but it hit me again the second time. I was like, gosh, I don't know if I want to go. Anyway, it's been 6 or 7 different get-togethers now. We don't even go to Dennis's house anymore, so it's not nearly as far. But yeah, just yesterday when I got the invitation, and of course they left it to the last minute, but oh well, I had nothing better to do. I was going to sleep. Anyhow, that same thought is going through my head of, oh gosh, do I really want to? I mean, what would I have to say to these people? And then my friend, my buddy Rhett, is going to tell the same story that he told the last time and the time before that and the time before that, which is, it's a good story, but anyway, I don't get that. I'm sure that if this episode is not done and I pick it up again to talk to you on the way home from this get together, I'll say, oh yeah, it was really good. I don't know why I didn't want to go. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think part of it is just I am an introvert. It sounds strange, somebody who's so theatrical and I have no problem with public speaking or whatever, to call himself an introvert. But I'm also an actor, and part of that, getting up in front of people, is playing a part, is pretending to be somebody who I'm not, which is fairly easy for me. But going someplace where there are going to be strangers, or going someplace where I might have to get out of my comfort zone, going someplace where there might be personal questions about what's going on in my life and how small is it, and there's no drinking to take the edge off, all of those things are daunting to me. Anyhow, that's not what I was going to talk to you about, but I was just, that's a little bit of background of what I'm doing right now, where I'm going. And I'm driving. I wish that I had recorded a story last night, but I didn't. I knew also that I had to be up early this morning. Oh my gosh, I got up, and it was so early that the sunlight was coming sideways, and the quality of the light was really unusual. I'm not somebody that gets up at dawn, ever. And to see, I almost want to say that the rays of the sun cut through the morning mist, like, I don't know, like lasers or something like that. I was just like, wow, is this what it's supposed to look like in the morning? Because I had sort of assumed that sunrise looked the same as sunset. You know, if they're shooting a movie and they're wanting to do a scene at dawn, chances are they're going to shoot it at sunset, because the camera's not going to know the difference, right? But my eye noticed the difference. And my body did too. I've already started getting a headache, which is not good. I've already been up 12 hours. Gosh, weird. But you, who probably get up at dawn every single day and have 100 other responsibilities, can shake your head in disgust at me, and rightly so. What was I going to talk about? I considered doing a video podcast. Now, I have explained this before. I've considered doing video podcasts from time to time because, well, there seems to be more of a market for that. There seems to be an audience for a YouTube video that is not there necessarily for a podcast. It's going to sound, well, I don't care how it sounds. There are people out there who sit down and talk in front of a camera who have thousands of viewers or fans or followers or Facebook friends that have nothing to contribute, that don't even think. They're just like, we're going to watch the Aquaman trailer now. I've not seen it, but watch it with me, and this is going to be my reaction. Sick! That contributes nothing. So little that I mispronounced contributes. That's how worthless reaction videos are. But these people that make them have shitloads of fans. Pardon my English. So I think about that from time to time. It's like, you know what? I like to talk. I have opinions that I don't know if they're entertaining, but I feel like I can be entertaining. And so if I was doing a sit down and I was going to talk about a particular subject, and maybe I could do it in front of a camera instead of just a microphone. And so far, saner heads have prevailed. I did record myself introducing the Travels with Father 2 episode of this podcast, which I don't know if that's aired yet or not, because I just, it's so hard for me to edit that episode. But yeah, so far I just haven't done it. But I watch YouTube because, you know, it's replaced television in the eyes of a lot of people. And it's just so convenient. But one thing that I've noticed that's really irritating is the clickbaity titles that people give their videos. I mean, I hate clickbait anyway. There are worse things in the world, and there are things much more important to get angry about going on in this country, in this world, in this galaxy. The clickbaity stuff really bothers me. For example, one of those internet personalities, one that I'm a big fan of, put out a video the other day, and the subject line, well, it was phrased in an interesting way that sort of bothered me. And so what I considered doing was sitting down and doing a video podcast where I talk about Return of the Jedi, the third Star Wars film. I would save it and publish it, but I would publish it under three different titles. One was, "Does Return of the Jedi suck?" question mark. I would publish that. Take the same video and publish it under, "Return of the Jedi sucks!" exclamation point. And then the third video that I would upload, same video, but the title would be, "Here's why Return of the Jedi sucks." And I don't think Return of the Jedi sucks. I mean, we could talk about that. If that sounds interesting to talk about, I would like to, because that's something I could talk about for about a half an hour, and I'd go through the points. I'd be like, okay, point number one, Ewoks. Point number two, another Death Star. Point number three, the pussification of Han Solo. Point number four, the pussification of Darth Vader. Point number five, Princess Leia in a metal bikini. Point number six, Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia are brother and sister. Point number six, a whole bunch of Muppets. Point number seven, and you know, it just, these are things, criticisms, that I have heard about Return of the Jedi over the years, and I don't know, maybe it would be interesting to sit down and go through them. You know, I'd do like 10 points, and I'd, you know, like somebody says, Sarlacc pit is just a gigantic vagina. And then in the special edition, George Lucas turns it into a penis. And I'd be like, well, let's talk about that. And that actually sounds kind of interesting. I'm sort of wanting to do that. But the point is, I would have those three videos out there, and I would watch the stats to see which one people click on, which one gets the views. Because the way you phrase something determines how people take it. Does Return of the Jedi suck? Is a question. We're going to have a discussion. We're going to give the reasons that it does or doesn't, and ultimately we're going to come to an answer together. Return of the Jedi sucks! Exclamation point is, this is my opinion. I don't like this movie, and I'm going to tell you why. And then the third one, here's why Return of the Jedi sucks. Now, see, that's the insidious one, because it assumes you already agree that Return of the Jedi sucks. And maybe I phrased it badly. If you're disagreeing, then I've phrased it badly, because it totally does. And what this woman titled her video was that way. It led you along. It assumed you already agreed with her, and she was going to discuss the reasons that Return of the Jedi sucks. And listen, it wasn't Return of the Jedi. She wasn't talking about the reasons Return of the Jedi sucks. Actually, in the 90s, when I was going to school, there was this magazine. I want to say that it was called Sci-Fi Universe. And that I would see it on the newsstand. I would see it at Barnes & Noble. There was like Cinescape, and there was Starlog, and, you know, Fangoria, and there was Sci-Fi Universe. And they were all magazines about science fiction movies, and they were all competing for the geek dollar. Well, because there was also Star Wars Galaxy, I think, or maybe it was Star Wars Insider and Star Trek magazines. And so, yeah, they were all competing for the dollar. And one day I went into Barnes & Noble, and the cover story on Sci-Fi Universe was 25 Reasons Return of the Jedi Sucks. And it might have been Stinks, but my feeling is that it was Sucks. Now, I could do a quick Google search if I weren't driving, and I could find out immediately. I was just like, whoa, 25 reasons that it sucks. I love Return of the Jedi. Holy, and because I was young and still malleable, I was just like, well, I should read this and find out if this magazine has merit, if they're right. And the reasons that they gave were myriad, 25, obviously. And some of them were as pointed as, you know, they go back to Tatooine, a planet we've already visited. And another was like really lazy performance from Carrie Fisher, something like that. Why would I even try and remember? This is such a huge tangent, isn't it? And listen, in Sci-Fi Universe's defense, well, in my defense, it might not even have been Sci-Fi Universe. I don't know what the magazine was called, but in the back of my head, it's Sci-Fi Universe. So F you. But in this magazine's defense, after the article, which was big, they had a single page where I think the writers expressed an alternate opinion, and it was reasons Return of the Jedi doesn't suck. And it was a single page. They used things like, great John Williams score, Ian McDiarmid's performance, Jabba the Hutt looks really cool, stuff like that. That was in their defense. So I didn't buy that magazine. I just read it at the bookstore. So, you know, I didn't contribute. Oh, wait, sorry. I didn't contribute to the coffers of the people who made this. Cut to a decade later. Not even a decade, but around that long. And I'm living in Los Angeles. And I meet this guy. Let's say that his name is Mark. Mark Altman. And, oh, this is a one-way road. And I said, you know, that name is familiar. Where do I know you from? And he says, well, I wrote this movie. I directed this movie called Free Enterprise. Did you see it? And whether I saw it or not, I probably said no, because I didn't like that movie. He said, oh, well, maybe you remember, maybe you know this magazine that I used to run, Sci-Fi Universe. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, you know what? I used to read that when I was in school. Absolutely. And he said, yeah, you know what happened with that magazine? And I was just like, internet, right? Internet ate it up. There's no more magazines. And he's like, no. No, we did this cover story about Return of the Jedi. And Lucasfilm hated it so much that they decided to pull all of their advertising and all of their support for the magazine, interviews and all that sort of stuff. And you know, that basically killed us. And I remembered thinking, serves you right? But of course I didn't say that. And the thing is, you should be allowed to print whatever stories you like, but they were sort of biting the hand that fed them, almost literally in that case. Well, they didn't bite it, but the hand was coming pretty close to feeding them. holy cow, how did I get on? Oh, because I wanted to do a Reasons Return of the Jedi Sucks. Now, was I doing that voice before? What would that be like? I happen to own a leather jacket. What would you say if I shaved everything but like my sideburns and I greased up my hair and I did a whole thing where I sit down and it's like, Return of the Jedi sucks. And now the Death Star, oh, come on. It's like, oh, and you know what? There's an Imperial guy who says, you rebel scum. What the hell is up with that, huh? Yeah, this movie sucks. I wonder how long I could keep that up. I mean, certainly there are internet, YouTube celebrities or whatever you want, personalities who have accents as obnoxious as I. Well, you know, there are people with Boston accents that have YouTube shows. So anyhow, I apologize. That was all just to talk about that you got to be careful with the. I'm not saying that here's why Return of the Jedi sucks is clickbait. But the phrasing of the episode title or the article title, or what do they call a YouTube video? A video? The phrasing of it is important. Big was telling me the other day, I mean, not that I ever see Big anymore. This is recorded post-Exodus. But he was saying, you know, you have a tendency to title your episodes of your podcast way too long of things. And if you have a super long podcast title, then it's not going to feed to the podcatchers. And I was just like, wow, are there really podcatchers out there still? Do they drive around in a truck? Do they have butterfly nets? But he said that, and I was just like, oh, okay. So I need to not title my episode something that is long. And, you know, that's not exactly what he said. He said I could get around that by just doing, like, Rish Outcast 81 and just call it that. You know, the podcast that dares 22. You know, that kind of thing. That's only tangentially related to what I'm talking about. But, I mean, there is an importance to how you choose to title things. For example, in summer of 2017, there was an Edgar Wright movie that came out, and it was pretty successful. More successful than any of Edgar Wright's previous films. But the title was Baby Driver. And, sorry guys, that title sucks on a pacifier and poops in a diaper, baby, because that's what babies do. Just a really, really bad title. Plus it came, what, 6 months after Boss Baby? Big Anklevich made this joke about it being the sequel to Baby's Day Out. You know, the baby has now, the baby is now driving. Hey, there's a baby driving that car, guys. Return of the Jedi sucks because that. Ewoks are basically babies driving cars. Sorry, I'm going to try not to do that again, which virtually guarantees I'll do it at least one more time. I personally think that that is not only a bad title, but one of the worst titles of the 21st century. Maybe not as bad as Ballistic X versus Sever, which I think held the record for a long stretch. But a bad title, indeed. Now, I don't know if more people would have gone to see that movie with a different title. Because it did well. It had a super high Rotten Tomatoes score. It had super high word of mouth. It was fairly inexpensive to make, so it was almost all profit. It was well-liked by the geek community. It was a good movie. It just had that really, really bad title, and I don't know. It's impossible to say. Same thing when we were talking about John Carter of Mars versus John Carter. Would one have made more money than the other? I don't know. We'll never know. Hello, boys and ghouls.
Oh, wait. I'm already recording.
Okay, so this is on the tail end. A few hours later, we went fishing. I think on this show, I did a story that I wrote years ago, 25 years ago, maybe, called A Day of Fishing. I think it's the oldest story I've done on my show. We went to the house of the kid that inspired that story, who was a fisherman. You know, his dad's job was to breed trout, to plant in lakes, that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying? He was a trout breeder, right? Anyway, his dad retired, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and Rob took it over, and he does that now. And we went to his house, which is on a trout farm, and anybody who had children could fish. I mean, the adults could fish too, but I helped kids fish for a little while because I don't mind touching the guts and pulling hooks out and such. Anyway, I always think of him for that. I think of him for, well, he dated the girl I liked. But then the third thing is he's the guy who said there's only one book worth reading. And that is Aragon by Christopher Paolini. Is that his name? I know Paolini was the last name. I want to say Christopher. It could be something pretentious like Christoph Paolini, but I want to say Christopher. But anyhow, he was a really good guy. I'm sure I said that in the episode. But in my story, if I ever did a revision, I was going to have him be, like, less good. But I'm never going to do a revision of that story. Why not just write a new story with similar themes, that kind of thing? We wandered around his pond. I wandered around his ponds because everybody who was there except me had a significant other with them or a child that they had brought because, oh, cool, we're going to the trout farm. Who wants to go? And so there would be times when a dad was helping his daughter reel in the fish or untangle the line, something like that. And it was time for me to be by myself because I had brought no significant other. And so I did a little walk around the ponds. And there were various ponds. There's like one that's just for breeding. There is the infamous gut pond, which, why you wouldn't just throw away the guts of the fish when you clean them, I should have asked. It just made sense that there would be a gut pond at the time. Certainly doesn't now. Anyway, I just wandered around and there was this, the one where they breed, where, you know, there's no fishing in this one. Like soft romantic music is playing sometimes. They provide lube. It was super overgrown with like moss and muck and marital aids, you know, that sort of stuff. And it was creepy looking. It was not clean. It was not a romantic lake. It was murky, swampy, kind of gross kind of thing. And plus there was the sound of fish copulating. And some of them can be really vocal. Some of the things they said I'd rather I didn't hear. But I couldn't help but think while I was there of, you know, I was like, oh, a story is forming in my mind, you know, just the swampy water where something rises from the water or somebody falls into the water and what is beneath the surface or, you know, any number of things. I took a couple of pictures of that pond, the breeding pond. And I'll put one in the show notes or maybe in the episode art or something like that, just so you can see. I don't know how good the pictures come out because I took the picture with my phone. Anyway, there was for a moment something moving in the tall grass on the bank. And I was just like, oh, frog! I suddenly became a 9-year-old kid again, or 7, or however old I was the first time. We went fishing and there were frogs at the pond where we happened to be fishing. My dad had taken the whole family, which was considerably smaller in those days because I was the oldest. We were fishing and camping, I think, and I discovered these leopard frogs, bright green spotted frogs, were at the lake. And oh my goodness, it was Christmas morning. I just, the delight of trying to catch these and take them home and having them in a tank or a container. That began a tradition. And I don't think it continued every single year, but for the most part, every summer I would catch frogs and bring them home, and I would like feed them crickets and worms that we'd find like on the farm and stuff. And then at the end of summer, like just as fall was about to start or something like that, or maybe it was when school started, my mom would make me take them to the outskirts of town and let them go. There was a canal there. It was just a tradition, something that I would do. And the reason she would make me let them go is that once summer ended, there would be no more food for the frogs. Because, you know, like at the end of summer, I could always catch grasshoppers out in the field and stuff, and the frogs would eat the grasshoppers and all that. But once it got cool, there was none of that anymore. And we didn't have a pet store where you could drive and buy crickets. That concept of a place that would sell crickets would have been alien to me back then. Now, if I catch frogs, and it's a weird thing, we're talking 30-something years later, I still delight in chasing after frogs with my nephews, or before my nephews were born, by myself, and catching the frogs and trying to figure out something that they would eat. Yeah, the crickets thing, going to the pet store and having to deal with the people that work at the pet store is one thing. And then having to pay, you know, $1.50 for 10 crickets or whatever that frogs will eat in 3 seconds is always difficult. It's more trouble than it's worth and all that. But it is what it is. How am I talking about this? Oh, because I like to bore you. It's what I live for. It's what wakes me up in the morning, or in my case, early afternoon. No, I'm not that lazy. Well, I am that lazy, but I don't wake up in early afternoon.
As I was saying before I got there, you know, I tend not to see these guys anymore. I don't want to say we're not friends anymore, but that might be technically accurate. I don't know. The people that you went to school with, high school, now that you're grown, how many of them do you interact with anymore? I mean, most people change so much between now and then that they're not the same person. Imagine that you were put in a room with yourself when you were 17. What would you have to talk about? I mean, with me, I think about that all the time. It's like, okay, here, I'm going to make a list of things that you need to invest in. I'm going to make a list of things that you can buy that will make you rich by the time you are old like me. And here's some advice. But the truth is, my 17-year-old self might think of me as some old fart. You know what I mean? Who's not cool and not worth listening to, who has nothing in common with him. And I'd like to think that knowing that it was me from the future, and then I'm talking about, you know, these are mistakes that you will make in the future, don't make them, and buy yourself 100 copies of New Mutants 98. You know, stuff like that. I'd like to think that boy me would be like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, this is magical. This is so cool. You know, sometimes I think about going back and sitting down my young self and saying, hey, look, I have money now. I have disposable income. I will pay you X number of dollars, let's say $100 for every story that you write. Just hoping that maybe I would have focused more on that. Or see, part of it is weird because, you know, I read the stuff that I wrote when I was a teenager and it's not good. I guess I say that about I say it's not great about my stuff as an adult. I think about that, you know, it's like, okay, 17-year-old self has a lot of time on his hands. Here's $100 for every story that you write. Here's $100 for every story that you finish. See, that's the thing. I was saying for every story that you write, but it's finish. I came up with plenty of ideas when I was 17 years old for stories. Or wouldn't it be cool if
I remember there being this story. I mean, I guess it was probably just like a Terminator ripoff, you know, a robot that comes after these teenagers. And I knew how I was going to destroy the robot. I had set it up in like the opening scene of the story. And I felt like I was really clever because it's a, gosh, what do they call it in screenwriting? Where you say something and then you revisit that. You know what I'm talking about. Back to the Future is the best example, where there's about 10 of those things that I can't think of the word for. And then later in the movie, they revisit all of those things, whether it's just as a joke or whether it's as a payoff. Setups and payoffs, that's what it is. Anyway, I had this idea, this Terminator kind of thing. Well, it was about an evil robot. I never wrote it. I still think about that idea every once in a while because I saw it in my head so clearly as a boy, the final scene of the destruction of this robot, and just thought I was really clever. And, you know, maybe I was, but not clever enough to finish it. Anyway, boy, you remember what I said about that episode, You've Got to Want It More? This is the opposite of that episode. Not my favorite episode, not my best work. My apologies. So anyway, I'm around all these guys. Some of them, there were more that showed up this particular trip than had shown up in past years. And so there were a couple of guys that I didn't know at all. I knew vaguely. They were friends of my friends, but they weren't part of that little core group that I consider the core group. But the funny thing is, maybe to one of those friends of a friend's, I was not part of the core group. See, a lot of those guys knew each other from band. They were in the band together. They all played instruments. And then they continued to do that after school ended. There were still opportunities. There were still people needed who played instruments. And so they continued as friends, whereas, you know, I didn't have that. So I did interact with a couple of them, with three or four of them, and we talked about things. There was one thing that happens, and I don't know if you're a writer. I mean, I always got the impression that a lot of the people that listened to the Dune Steve were writers. They sympathized with us when we were struggling or we had writer's block or, you know, couldn't quite make it to the end of a book or took a softball to the family jewels, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, a guy came up to me and he says, oh, hey, I had an idea for a story. And I was like, really? Oh, that's interesting. He's like, you still write? I say, I do. And he's like, okay, here you go. And he pitched me this story. And then he goes, you can have that. That's for you, man. What do you think? So what I was saying before is if you're a writer, invariably someone will do this. They will say they have an idea. And that is the golden ticket. That is all you need, apparently. But and the thing that's hilarious is that all of us, you and me and anybody else, all three people that might be listening, have had great ideas, creative ideas, scary ideas, funny ideas, concepts for a story or a novel or a movie. That's not the hard part. The hard part is writing it, figuring out how to make that idea come alive, figuring out how to make people care about the characters or about the scares or the twists or whatever it is, the world building. Anyway, I just thought that that was funny. And I did talk to several different guys, not several, but each one of these guys that I had been friends with. And my buddy Rob was going through a really hard time. And it was just weird to see him angry because he was always so gentle. I don't want to say gentle. That's a weak word, isn't it? But you know what I'm saying. He was a softy. He was a nice, sweet dude. And he was angry. My buddy Steve, I talked to him for a little while. And he was talking to me about my dad and then talked about his dad. And his dad has had two strokes in the last couple of months. One was minor and the next one was fairly major. And the doctors said, you know, he's had two in such a small period of time. Chances are there's going to be a third. just be warned, you know. And he talked about that, and I didn't know what to say to the guy. And I was like, it's inevitable he's going to lose his dad, but it seems like it might be a slow, lingering loss. Where he said that his father's speech has begun to slur, and the second stroke affected him a lot more than the first. Or maybe it's like a compound thing. You know what I'm saying? I talked to my buddy Dennis about a job that he had when he lived in Alaska that to me was really exotic. I mean, Alaska itself is exotic, right? I mean, unless you are Gino or anybody who lives in a place where you're just like, wow, what would that be like? You live in a place with orcs and halflings and wizards? What would that be like? Sorry, I amuse myself, kids. I talked to him a little bit about this job, and the thing is, these guys, with the exception of me, were there to entertain their kids. They are at the beck and call of their kids, and any time their kids wanted them, they would interrupt whatever conversation we were having, and the kid would get the spotlight. I mean, I resent it, but I understand that that's how children are, and that's how it's supposed to be. Your commitment to your kids is supposed to be an all-encompassing thing. It's like when you choose to bring a life into this world, you shackle yourself to that life. And it sounds terrible the way I'm saying it. Just like, you become a slave for life. And while that's technically true, what I'm saying is, you know, it's that you decide when you become a parent to subsume your own will, your own desires, your own selfishness, and say, you know, from now on, I'm going to care for this other person, and I'm going to care for them first. Unless you're my buddy Rhett, who actually snapped at his kid, we're talking. And I just like, wow, that's not something you see very often. I appreciated it, but at the same time, it was still kind of ugly. Anyhow, I wanted to talk to Dennis about this job because, you know, I'm going back to writing. It felt like there is a story in that. And maybe the story isn't about that, but you could have a character who does what Dennis did. And I'll let you know if that ever happens. I've had a few different jobs, more so than some, and I've written about a few of those. I don't know that I've ever written a story about being an extra, a movie and TV extra, which is maybe the most exotic job that I've had. But Dennis's was sort of in security, like a security guard who had training to like take people down and stuff like that. And I remember him telling me about it years ago when he was doing it. He was visiting from Alaska. And I was just like, wow, really? And you've tackled people before and stuff? And that, to me, was really interesting. Anyway, I came back to that and I wanted to talk to him about it. But I didn't really get to talk to him about it. You know, there were a bunch of people and everybody wanted to talk to everybody else. And it was not my prerogative to monopolize the attention of any one person for very long. Except for Rhett. I talked to Rhett forever because that's who he is. Anyway, I feel like I had a point and I missed it. Let me see if I can't maybe U-turn back to the point I was trying to make. Okay, kids, I had a point. I wanted to talk about the misleading titles, the clickbait kind of titles and how those suck, but also just... I was curious about the, does Return of the Jedi suck? That conversation of what would happen if I did that. Now, granted, I'm not a YouTube personality. If I made a YouTube video of me, maybe it would get 2 clicks. Is clicks the word? What do they call that? 2 views. If I made 3 identical ones with 3 different... subject lines, titles, you know, maybe one would get a view, one would get 2 views and one would get 0 views, but it wouldn't necessarily prove my point. Yeah, I'm not a, I don't command enough of a crowd, but it's something to think about. I don't know. I've talked about titles before. I've talked about alternate titles before. I've talked about the difficulty of coming up with a title that feels right, that also conveys what you want the reader to get out of it. You know, and marketing, too. There being titles. Oh, yeah, we were talking about John Carter of Mars, and Baby Driver right before I turned it off. You know, the swampy photograph that I took sort of reminds me of my novella, Newfound Fame, which is a title that I like, but I recognize is not particularly commercial. And The Brown Depths is probably a better title. The Creature from the Brown Depths might be better or whatever. But I chose Newfound Fame. I guess it was the title I liked the best. I don't know. I put out Like a Good Neighbor. And more than one person told me that that was not a good title, that I would have been better off calling it Laura and the Witch, which was, I believe, the very first title. And maybe that is true, and maybe I would have sold more copies of Laura and the Witch than I did Like a Good Neighbor. I was going to say we'll never know, but I could publish Like a Good Neighbor word for word the same, but with a different title. You know, Laura and the Witch, written and narrated by Rish Outfield. It would give me a chance to put out that longer version, which I think is not available in audio. Maybe it is. Oh, no, it isn't, because remember I found a scene that I had somehow left out. I talked about that. Anyway, pretend I didn't say that, or I could just cut that out and you would never have heard me go on that particular tangent. Anyway, yes, that would be curious as well, in the same way as,
does Return of the Jedi suck?
Seeing what gets more views, would Like a Good Neighbor sell fewer copies than Laura and the Witch? See, that's something I could actually do. That's an experiment I could actually do. I think that's probably a whole episode I could do about titles. Remember, Big hated his title, The Wrong Ingredients. See, that's something he could do as well. He could publish The Wrong Ingredients as like a $1.99 Amazon ebook and then publish it under some title that he prefers. I don't remember if he ever came up with a title he preferred, and see which sells more copies. It's kind of like those assholes on Amazon that will write a book and publish it under their name and publish it under Stephen King's name and publish it under Dean Koontz's name and publish it under George R.R. Martin's name. Why these guys are not in jail? I'm not sure, but you can be sure that they sell a lot more George R.R. Martin versions of that book than they do their own name versions. But you can also go in and look at all the the reader comments that said, this is not the George R.R. Martin. You know, this is fraud. I apologize. I have gotten so off track that there's no getting back. I'm just going to end this episode. I apologize if this was not entertaining to you. To make it up to you, I will include some bonus here at the end. And maybe you're thinking, well, you should always include some bonus. And I think you're right. But I won't. So, you have a good night. Thanks again for listening to the Rish Outcast. Thanks again for being a human being. There are people that aren't. Well, I guess they're not people. There are animals that aren't. There are, I don't know, plants that aren't people. That's about it. Donate to my Patreon if you like. If you dislike, don't donate to my Patreon. I think we can agree on that, too. Does the Rish Outcast suck?
The Rish Outcast sucks. Reasons why the Rish Outcast sucks. Good night.
Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com for the music so inexpertly used in this episode. This podcast, amazingly enough, comes attached to a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license. It's free to listen to, copy, share, and delete, especially that last one. But you cannot sell it or make claims on it yourself. However, there is a Patreon fund set up for this show, wherein you can donate $1 an episode and up to keep it going. Your Patreon pledge could very well save Rish Outfield. And who's going to come to save you, Junior?
It trailed a salmon-colored ribbon from its stem, the curled end hanging about the height of its own. The curled end hanging about the height of his own waist above the... Hanging about the height of his own waist above the park's grass. One more time. The curled end hanging about the height of his own waist above the park's grass.
Hey, Fake Sean.
Oh, Christ, no.
I've got a song for you.
No, I'm not in the mood for it.
Not in the mood. It's got to be something I can do.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, lad, but no.
Come on, Fake Sean. It seems a shame to waste a beautiful night like this.
It is a lovely night, but... What are you doing?
Swaying to the music. It's a classic from back when I was relevant.
Oh, this is going to be terrible.
I'll get you in the mood. You'll see, Fake Sean.
All right. Play the damned thing.
Just do it. Let your body go. You hear that? Doesn't that remind you of better times when you were on an island eating things that they have on islands? Like maybe biting into a coconut or something. I'm not sure what people do on islands. It's not a very good impression of me. When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got you going crazy. It's time to get out, step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet. Well,
I know a place where we can dance the whole night away.
Underneath electric stars.
Just come with me and we can shake your blues right away. You'll be doing fine once the music starts.
Fake Sean!
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
We can leave them all behind.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Am I getting through to you?
I'm just bringing back a memory of three. Perhaps I'll indulge you for a moment.
Look out on the street now.
The party's just beginning.
The music's playing.
A celebration
starting. Under the street lights, the scene is being set.
A night for romance.
A night I won't forget.
So come join the fun. This ain't no time to be staying home.
Ooh, there's too much going on.
Oh!
Tonight is gonna be a night like I've never known. We're gonna have a good time the whole night long.
Oh!
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind. You can leave them all behind.
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Oh, yeah.
El DeBarge.
What? What did you call me?
No, that's the name of the man or the group, or it might have been a teenage girl that sang this song.
What is that god-awful sound?
I don't know. It's only on this version.
Oh. Okay, so there's this terrible instrumental section here in the middle. I'm gonna skip it.
Come join the fun, this ain't no time to be staying home.
Ooh, there's too much going on.
No,
tonight is gonna be a night like you've never known.
We're gonna have a good time the whole night long.
Oh, to be the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
You'll be the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Be the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
Oh.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind. La 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 la. La 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 la.
La 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 la. La 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 la. Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Oh, that sucked.
Come on. Let your hair down. Oh, sorry.